my interim pastor, Steve Willis, is obviously out of town this weekend and asked me to substitute for him. My name is Robert Ramey. I grew up in this church and was called to the ministry right here at First Presbyterian. I want you to read the list of all pastoral concerns in your bulletin and pray for the people who are listed. We regret in particular the passing of Ruth Lawton this past week. Steve Willis will conduct her service at 1 p.m. on this coming Friday, November 22nd, at Danville Memorial Gardens. Note in particular that the community Thanksgiving service will be held at West Main Baptist on Monday, November the 25th at 7 p.m. Our own David Baker, pastor at Williamson Memorial now, will preach. All orders for poinsettias should be turned in by tomorrow. Call Elizabeth Walden if you have questions. If you haven't made your stewardship pledge for next year, you will find pledge cards, I hope, in the window sills. You may put those pledges in the offering today or mail them to First Church this week. Full disclosure, Gail and I forgot to put ours in this past week, and so we're turning our cards in today also. One more announcement. Jackson Weller, beginning on December the 1st, a Sunday, at 7 p.m., will begin a four-week study on the words of Advent. I think you'll find that very interesting. And now, Ava Barrett will conduct our Minute for Mission, and after the prelude is played, Maggie Weller will serve as our liturgist today. Thank you for that, Maggie.
Good morning. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13 says, "Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart." That is the scripture for our thank offering for this year. And since 1888, Presbyterian women have expressed their deep sense of gratitude for God's blessings in their lives by giving back to the people in their communities and around the world. Through the thank offering, we help fund programs that provide education, safe housing, food, clean water, health care, and many more items. In 2019, 18 ministries were selected, both nationally and worldwide. The thank offering is one of two annual offerings by the Presbyterian women and will be received today using the blue envelope that you found in your bulletin, and it will be placed in the regular offering plate. If you would like to enclose a check, they may be made either to First Presbyterian Church or to Presbyterian Women. Thank you so much for considering this opportunity to show Christ's compassion and love.
Thank you. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Let us once again worship the Lord who saves us. Let us open our hearts and minds to Jesus, our host. The hymn of praise is 461. Please join me in the prayer of confession, followed by the silent prayers of confession. Eternal God, whose covenant with us is never broken, we confess that we have failed to fulfill your will for us. We ignore our neighbors and even desert our friends. and run in fear when we should be loyal. Though you have bound yourself to us, we will not bound ourselves to you. God, have mercy on us, weak and willful people. Lead us once again to your table. Amen. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. The children can come forward.
Now we're working. Good morning, everybody. Everybody wide awake?
Yes.
Eat your Wheaties?
What?
Yeah, eat your Wheaties. Get a good start to the day, right? Haven't you heard that? Good morning. Well, I am here to ask you a very important question. So think about this. I want you to think of some ways that we can share Jesus' love. What are some ways we could share his love? Say that again for everybody.
People. Help people.
Help people, okay. What else can we do to share Jesus' love? Benjamin?
Pray for people.
Pray for people. Very good. Y'all got some great answers this morning. Any other ways you can think of? Yes?
Share love.
Share love, that's right. And think about some different ways we could do that. And as a church family here, we do that in many different ways. We have many different mission projects. And one special project that is coming up. See if you can guess what it is. What is it?
Angel.
It's an angel, right? For what? Right. But what's the name of the ministry? Anybody know? The Angel Tree Ministry, right. So have y'all seen these before?
No.
Thanksgiving is coming. That's right. And we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? But Christmas is coming soon, and we want to let everybody know that the angel tree will be up next Sunday. Have you all ever participated in this, where you take an angel from the tree to get gifts, you and your family? Have you done it before? Have you? Did you enjoy doing it? To help another child? This year we have 22 families, I believe, and 46 children that we're helping. And these kids, they may not be able to see their moms or dads this Christmas. So this is a special way that their parents we can help their parents reach out to their kids with special gifts and prayers and help them in so many different ways. There's a lot of kids. I was reading about the statistics. There's 2.8 million kids in the United States that have a parent that may not be there this Christmas with them. They may be in jail or prison. So this is a special ministry through Prison Fellowship that our church participates in. Did they have it there at your school? Or here? Here, that's right. You want to say that again?
In the cafeteria upstairs. I mean, the juice room, they have lots of stuff, and they have presents, and every year you get to have one.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big party on, let me look at my notes here. The big party is going to be on Saturday, December the 14th. So all the kids we have gifts for, many of them will come to our party, and you're welcome to come too to help and share. We'll have games and activities, and we'll be singing and have refreshments, and then we'll pass out the gifts to the kids and the families that want to come. So next week, when you go in the juice room, look for the tree and pick an angel or two off the tree that you can help some kids. And you can also pray for them, right, Benjamin? And this is a way that we share our love, right? Yes. All right, let's say a prayer together before you all go to Sunday school. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. And help us to share your love with many, many people. Thank you for the gifts that we have, that we receive each and every day, your love being one of them. Again, help us to share our gifts with those who may not have as much as we do, or who may be sad and lonely, and help us to share our love so that they can feel the warmth of Jesus, not only in the days that we see them when we have our party, but each and every day. Through Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us join together for the prayer for illumination. Now, O God, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, may we listen diligently and then in our hearts and minds decide to live by your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The first scripture lesson today is Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you are angry with me, your anger turned away, and you confronted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say it in that day. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord with one great voice. Praise the Lord, the most sovereign, the most.
Testament lesson for this Lord's Day in the Gospels is found in Matthew 26, verses 47 through 56, and I will be reading from the Revised Standard Version, so it will sound a little bit different from the version you are reading in your pulpit. A pew. You're not quite in the pulpit today. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Hail, Master." And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why are you here?" Then they came up, laid hands on Jesus, and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. May God bless this reading and hearing of his holy word. When I was teaching at Columbia Theological Seminary, Gail and I went to the United Kingdom on one of my sabbatic leaves and stayed at Cambridge University for a while. I know that sounds like tough duty. We traveled when I was free from my studies. One place we just had to visit while we were there was Iona Abbey off the coast of Scotland. The abbey is on a small rocky island named Iona. Why were we so anxious to go there? Well, because of its historical background, mainly in being connected with the Church of Scotland, in which Presbyterians are so deeply rooted. Founded in 563 AD, for over 1,400 years, Iona has been a holy Christian island. St. Columba went to Iona from Ireland in 563 to start a Christian community for worship and teaching there. Each summer since 1938, for a long time, a group of ministers and workmen met there to restore the buildings surrounding the ancient Abbey Church. The movement was known as the Iona Community. Every Sunday, the group celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, following the ritual of the Church of Scotland. They literally broke the bread at the table and distributed it to the worshipers. They served wine in six beautiful glass chalices. Around the top of each chalice is an inscription that would make you pause before you drank that cup. The words are, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" A translation from the King James Version of the Bible of Jesus' greeting to Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane at the very moment of his betrayal. Now, I like the way the RSV translates Jesus' greeting to Judas. Judas, you'll remember, had gone to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master." Then he kissed Jesus on the cheek. Jesus responded by asking, as the RSV states it, "Friend, why are you here?" Judas had gone there to the garden, of course, to betray Jesus. But why did the craftsman who made those six chalices at Iona inscribe Jesus' words on them? Was he warning all who drank from that cup to examine themselves before drinking? I think so. Judas, you see, had been present at the Last Supper and had slipped away to betray Jesus with a kiss. So we would all do well to ask ourselves today why we are here. Well, why are you here? You may be here by chance. Did you just happen to drop by this morning to worship? Sometimes you come, sometimes you don't. In all honesty, you didn't know that the Lord's Supper was being observed. If you had known, you might not have come. But possibly the Lord's Supper means very little to you. You might even agree with that man who once said to me before the Lord's Supper was served, "It's just a lot of hocus pocus I don't understand." Though I hope not, now that you're here, you may be sorry you came to all this hocus pocus. But no one has to stay for this supper. We don't force anyone to eat at this table because we would then grossly violate the gospel of love and freedom we profess. Not that we would encourage you to take the Lord's Supper lightly. It's a serious matter to eat the bread and drink the cup. The inscription on those Iona chalices remind us of that. But the Lord's Supper may help you if you stay. Therefore, acknowledge how it is with you by saying, "Lord, this is the kind of person I am. Help me to find new life and greater meaning today." If you stay and say that truthfully, the Lord can help you, even if you just dropped in by chance. Again, why are you here? You may be here through custom. It might be social custom. It's more or less the thing to do occasionally here in the Bible Belt of our nation. Or it may be a personal custom because it's the thing you've always done in your family. You faithfully come here every Sunday morning and sit in your usual pew. It's largely a matter of habit. And today we happen to be observing the Lord's Supper. Yet, don't ever look down on yourself because of that. Jesus himself, the Bible says, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day as his custom was, as Luke 4 puts it. Of course, that wasn't his main reason for going, and ideally it shouldn't be the main reason for our being here. Still, there may be times when you come only out of habit. Does that mean you should have just stayed home? Well, no. Once after Pastor Dr. Raymond Abba completed a series of sermons on worship, a young man asked him, "Do you think I ought to come to church when I don't feel like it? There are times when I want to come and really enjoy the service, but there are other times when I have no inclination to come at all. Wouldn't it be hypocritical for me to come then?" Dr. Abba replied, "Well, John, do you only pay the grocer's bill when you feel like it?" In other words, people who are growing in their faith do the right thing because it's right and important, not because it's more pleasant than anything else they can think of. Even if you are here today through force of habit, something significant can happen to you. You can come to a deeper awareness of Almighty God and give yourself to God in a way you've never done before. I dare say that that is much more likely to happen when you are here in the presence of God's people worshiping than if you are sitting at home changing TV channels or driving golf balls on some local golf course. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So come to this table then, you who have come here through custom. Confess to God that you have come through habit, and it may help you to find more meaning. Once more, why are you here? You may be here through contrition, that is, through sorrow for your sins. During the past week, you may have slipped badly. You may have screamed unmercifully at your family, or you failed a friend who needed you, or you went along with a business practice you knew was dead wrong, or you were ashamed of all the hateful thoughts that kept running through your mind. Thus, you actually came to the Lord's Supper this morning hoping to receive forgiveness and strength. You have a sorrowful, contrite heart. Then stay if contrition is your reason. God gave us this supper for the perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ in his death. This supper points to the cross and the forgiveness God freely offers to all who are truly sorry for their sins and desire to lead a new life. That pardon and strength can be yours. Finally, you may also be here today through choice. I hope many of you are here for that reason. You're glad we are observing the Lord's Supper, and you want to be part of it. After all, you keep up with what's going on in our church. Communion is always a high water mark for you in your life. You look forward to this observance each time and prepare yourself for it. You don't take it lightly. You have meditated on the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. You have examined your faith, repentance, love, and obedience. You want to be in communion with Christ and with your fellow church members. You want to live in unity with your neighbors. You are filled with joy and expectancy. Are you here through a choice like that? If so, stay, for you have made a good choice. Why then are you present here this morning? By chance, custom, contrition, or choice? You alone can answer that question. Whatever your reason, please remember this, that Jesus prefaced his question to Judas with the word friend. Friend, he said, why are you here? In Jesus' question lies our hope. Now just think of that. Jesus still called a man who was betraying him friend. Was that a final appeal to him to change his course? Possibly. But there's hope in that word for you and me. Jesus called you friend, although you may have betrayed him in a dozen ways. Jesus called you friend, although you may be drifting along carelessly in your life. He called you friend, although your faith may not be real and you're not doing very much about it. Jesus called you friend no matter what. And he says to you now, as he said centuries ago in John's gospel, anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. May that good news fill you with joy as you eat and drink. Let us now stand and affirm our faith as we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence it shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is 507, I Come With Joy. Please be seated. come to this table, all of you who have been baptized, regardless of denomination, for this is the Lord's table, not a Presbyterian table. Baptized children who are being instructed and nurtured in the significance of the invitation to the table and the meaning of their response are also invited to receive the Lord's Supper. Coming to this table today is not a right conferred upon the worthy, but a privilege given to the undeserving who come in faith, repentance, and love. As you come to this table to receive this food of life, remember to confess your sins and brokenness. Today, even if your trust is wavering and you have doubts, come to the table to be assured of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. Come and share the feast Christ has prepared for us. Let us now join in the great prayer of thanksgiving, which will be concluded as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Blessed is Jesus, born of Mary, your word become flesh. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim his death and resurrection. Now, pleading Christ's eternal sacrifice, we offer these gifts to you as the memorial your Son commanded us to make. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. May the bread we break and the cup we bless be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast today. We pray especially for those we have named in our bulletin who need your special blessing. We pray particularly for the family of Ruth Lawton, who is now serving with you in your kingdom, and in union now with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with your saints in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Together, we now pray the Lord's Prayer as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this as a memorial of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, This covenant is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this as a memorial of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. My friends, the gifts of God for the people of God. Will the elders please come forward?
Thank you.
remembering that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all that you have given us, and we have now paused to return some of that to be used in your kingdom. Bless it, that it may help others come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is 371, Lift High the Cross. now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you wherever you are this week. In Jesus' name, amen.